Ladies and gentlemen, the long wait is over. It's finally here. It's NFL draft day, and we have a cast of thousands of experts listening and some guys who know a few things in the studio.
And normally we would be doing Fan 5, and it would be brought to you by Garage Solutions Minneapolis and our friends at GarageSolutionsMinneapolis.com, but we're skipping Fan 5 to go straight to our 63rd annual mock draft.
That's right. That's 63rd? Exactly.
63rd? I thought it was 68.
63rd.
It's number 63.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a cast of thousands, as I mentioned. You heard the voice of Mark Rosen. Hi, Mark Rosen.
Good morning to everyone.
Yeah. You've heard Ben Lieber. Hi, Ben Lieber.
Morning.
Over there's Meat Sauce Paul Lambert, of course. Hi, Meat Sauce.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Corey Cove, you're here as well.
Hi.
Behind me, we have the lovely and talented Paul Charchin.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi. We also have Eric Nordquist. Hi, Noro.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Over in the other studio, we have Dave Sinekin, who I didn't mean to insinuate that you couldn't get an erection.
Yeah, thank you. What's up, boys?
Yep, you're welcome.
We believe that you can,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, we can. You look like a guy who's virile, I think is what I would say.
And I would say prove it.
Yeah. And, of course, the guy who's the least proud guy in America of his job, Greg Swedberg.
Good morning.
Hi, Greg. You have the number one overall pick. Do you know that?
I'm aware of that, yeah.
Yeah, good. Are you feeling the pressure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you guys gave that to me early so you'd get me out of the way.
That's not even close to true. No. It was a completely random draft pick.
When we grabbed it, all of us were like, oh, crap, we want to hear as much as we possibly can from the greatest draft mind of all time.
He said those words. Yeah. He did.
He absolutely did.
Hockey's cracked.
That seems like something you shouldn't say when your boss is in the studio.
Well, shall we start with a little bit of news related to that number one overall?
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
And then we'll see what Greg thinks.
Very fluid situation.
Greg, do you like to gamble?
Sure.
So as of a week or two ago, Kyler Murray at Westgate in Vegas was minus 2,500 on the money line to go number one of the Arizona Cardinals. As of a day or so ago, he's down to minus 280 or even off the board. FanDuel in New Jersey had him at minus 1,200. Now it's minus 400, so Vegas odds are changing. The lock that is Kyler Murray, with a handful of hours left to go, is not necessarily a lock anymore in Vegas' eyes. Your thoughts?
It's bad news for the Vikings if they don't take him first. I think this is one of those times where it would be great if they could pull four quarterbacks off the board before the Vikings drafted. And that's probably not going to happen if they don't take Murray first. So, because that'll just take one guy out of that picture. But everything that's happening that I'm reading now says that they're thinking about not taking him number one, that Kingsbury doesn't need him, that Rosen can run their air raid offense that they're sitting on, and they start to actually realize, oh, my God, we've wasted a pick last year if we all of a sudden have to trade this guy away. And so the question is, are they going to do that? Plus, there's two really good defensive linemen there. I mean, like, game-changing defensive linemen there. But I am just, you know, at this point, I think that Kingsbury tried to recruit him 7 years ago. I think he'll take him. I'm completely up in the air about this. Part of me says you shouldn't take him because I think that Quinnen Williams is, like, game-changing. And Bosa is really good, too. But for the purposes of this draft, we'll take Kyler Murray overall at number one.
Number one, Kyler Murray. What do you think, Charge?
I think they're fools if they do anything else. Murray is a crazy athlete with extraordinary upside that Josh Rosen can't touch. They already got a long look at Rosen. He looks pedestrian, and you shouldn't find yourself at the top of a draft for years to come. So you take advantage of it while you can, and you go get a potential franchise quarterback.
But you, Ben Lieber, disagree a little?
I do disagree a little bit. I think that he has been pumped up because of his athletic ability, and I don't think that they're going to give full keys and autonomy to Cliff Kingsbury to run that franchise, knowing that he's never done it at that level, and they're going to waste a pick, and I don't think they're going to get the value out of Josh Rosen once they make that pick.
Oof, yeah.
The value of his trade goes down significantly, so now it's almost a double whammy about wasting the pick last year.
Hmm. Interesting. One pick in. And I'm up next with the San Francisco 49ers. I did a lot of research, as you guys can well imagine. And I thought this through. I thought, you know, after trading for pass rusher D. Ford,
yes,
and signing linebacker Quan Alexander, John Lynch said the Niners, I think he said they could focus on drafting the best player available at number two. Good news for San Francisco, there's likely a premier defensive talent awaiting them at number two, and that would be Nick Bosa, defensive end, Ohio State. Anybody disagree?
No, not at all.
Well, I just want to say, unbelievable research.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, the D Ford thing and the K1 Alexander thing. Yes.
K-Y.
Yep, that's right. That's exactly right.
Absolutely correct.
We move now to pick number three. That leads us to Eric Nordquist and the New York Jets.
The New York Jets with new defensive coordinator Greg Williams.
Boo.
Uh-oh.
A fellow, I think he's a fellow Greg with two G's, but we like ours better than theirs.
Well, duh.
Barely.
The New York Jets are excited because they get what many perceive to actually be the best defensive player in the draft. They're going to take Quinnen Williams of Alabama and create their own Williams wall next to Leonard Williams, and that defense is going to be an absolute beast in 2019 and moving forward.
Charge, any disagreements?
Not really. I think they have need at edge more than they have need inside, but Quinnen Williams, in the minds of many, is the single best player in this entire draft, and mm-hmm. so I have absolutely no problem with that selection. I think Williams can't possibly go any later than the top four picks, so I have no problem seeing him go here to the Jets.
Mm-hmm. And Ben, fourth is you with the Oakland Raiders, and everyone has essentially pegged that as the wild card spot, right? That if Arizona doesn't do something insane with number one, whether they draft somebody else or make a giant trade to get out of there and not take Kyler Murray, everyone assumes that the Raiders are going to be the Raiders and do something crazy. Do you believe that they are the wild card pivotal spot in the top 10?
They definitely could be, especially if Kyler does not go number one. Because in my estimation, you know, there's all the rumors that Carr and Gruden don't get along and Gruden doesn't like Carr. I look at it as like you'd be silly to pay Antonio Brown $50 million and have to work with a rookie quarterback. I think that you would be wasting his talent. I think that you'd trigger him off into a tirade if things don't go his way. And I think you've got a full-on mess there that is already a mess. So I think that they avoid going quarterback. They need help defensively. They did get some linebackers on the inside. Their biggest need right now, because of the trade of Khalil Mack, is pass rusher on the outside. I think they get the most versatile player in this draft. Nick Bosa is the best pure fundamental pass rusher in the draft, and he's off the board. And I'm going to go with Josh Allen, the outside linebacker rush end from Kentucky.
Charge?
No team had fewer sacks registered last year than the Raiders, so yeah, getting an elite level defensive end would make a ton of sense here.
Hmm. I have pick five in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and look, I don't know much about the Buccaneers right now. I don't know really what they need, but if you look around mock drafts on the old internet, a pick five seems to be one of the most consensus picks in the top 10. Everyone has Devin White, linebacker, LSU, pegged as that. I think because no one has him going in the top four and Tampa Bay needs a linebacker. So it just sounds like that's exactly the comfortable spot for his talent level and based on need for the teams in front of him, them as well. So looks like Devin White is pretty close to a lock, barring a weird trade, to go fifth to Tampa Bay.
Hmm.
Super athletic, very disruptive, spends a lot of time in the opposing team's backfield, excellent finisher when he gets near the ball carrier. He wraps people up. It'd be a very good pick for Tampa.
Incredibly instinctive. Incredibly instinctive. Like, you watch his tape, and he does things that, you know, he just sort of is a magnet to the football, and he can bob and weave and find a way to get there, and all of a sudden, bam, he's making a play on the sideline for only like a two-yard gain. So, mm-hmm. That guy is phenomenal.
And he's likely to stay on the field for three downs. A lot of linebackers can't do that anymore. They say he's probably the most obvious natural guy that's going to be a long-term pro for a long time in the National Football League. So
All right, so Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, Devin White, we're up to pick six, and the New York Giants and Paul Meatsauce Lambert.
So this could go a lot of ways. They need help along the offensive line. Obviously, they need help on defense. They need a ton of help. But I think,
how long are you going to talk?
Just like Charch said, with Kyler Murray at one, you don't want to be picking sixth all the time. You want to move out of these spots. They are in big risk of having somebody jump in front of us because no one likes mock trades because it's stupid. The Giants will take Dwayne Haskins, quarterback, Ohio State.
Ooh.
Wow.
Because they're not going to wait to 17 because they'll be sniped by someone And they need they wasted it last year by not taking any of those dynamite quarterbacks with Rosen. I mean, at the time, you know, all those guys that look great. They can't wait around and just let Eli Manning throw ducks up in the air.
This, by the way, is good for the Vikings. Again, this and one more quarterback comes off. If the Giants, most people don't think the Giants are going to do this because they think they'll take a defensive player here and try to get their quarterback later on. But if this happens, now you have two quarterback needy teams still coming up before the Vikings, and now the chance of getting a good offensive lineman just got better.
Well, it's so, the thing is, it's so interesting to me because it your Sauce is right. If they really have to find their heir apparent, why not just go get him, knowing that you have pick 17 coming up, to get a very deep defensive draft, right? If that's the case, then it'll be curious to see who they have on top of their draft board, because it's been long rumored that they love the kid out of Duke. And
Daniel Jones.
And there seems to be a lot when it comes to the X's and O's that Shurmur has to what David Cutcliffe does there at Duke, teaching these quarterbacks. And I'm a big fan of Daniel Jones, and I think that he could make sense there as well. So I don't disagree by taking a quarterback early just to get it out of the way, knowing that you're going to get the guy that you want.
Sinekin, your thoughts?
You know what? Jacksonville at 7 was going to consider Haskins if he was there, even though they just signed Nick Foles. Talent like that doesn't come around often. I think the Giants have to take quarterback at 6. I think Haskins is the guy.
Interesting.
Sharks, what do you think?
It's not the selection I had, because the defensive players are so good this year, and they all grade out so much higher than any of the remaining quarterbacks do. I think they will go defense with this pick, and they'll find their quarterback at 17.
Sharks, do you think, though, that in the sense that waiting around to 17 with all these, and I know it's just rumors, but all these teams that pick in front of them need quarterbacks, you think they're willing to wait at 17 to get the guy they want?
Yeah, my assumption is that there isn't so much separation between Haskins and Jones, for example, and Drew Locke, that they look past an elite level blue chip defensive talent. And I think they figure, all right, if our worst case scenario is we take Daniel Jones at 17, that's not bad.
Yeah, yeah, if he's there, Charles, we'll the question there. Is, can Washington still there that could trade up in front of him? And I mean, it's like Denver, Washington, Cincinnati, Miami.
The Packers.
does everyone think there's going to be a lot of trades tonight?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that the general consensus?
Yes.
And earlier than later?
The hot rumor is Washington is trying to move up in front of the Giants, maybe to get to 3 or 4 to take Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins is the hottest name on the market.
Ooh. Let's get one more pick in before we break, and that leaves us to Dave Sinekin, Jaguars. Ooh.
Thank you. all right, so I have the Jags. There's an intense debate going on right now in our war room between two guys. Conventional wisdom says you just brought in Nick Foles for $1 million. DeFilippo is the offensive coordinator. They had a lot of success with Zach Ertz in the tight end position. There is a need there in Jacksonville at tight end. But this just in, Zach Ertz was a second-round pick, and the Jags can get a tight end in the second round if they so choose. They have a huge hole on their offensive line. They want to be a run-first team. They want to get Leonard Fournette right, and Tom Coughlin will not pass on the best right tackle on the board who played his college ball not far down the road, Juwan Taylor. Put him in at right tackle for the Jaguars, and they'll get their tight end on Friday.
Ooh.
Good pick.
Man, everything that I've read said that they will take a tight end with that pick. What do you think, Charge?
I think they're going to take the tight end as well, but everything Dave said is correct, and they do have a lot of need on the offensive line, and they struggled with injuries and bad play, much like the Vikings did last year, and so it's possible. Most people don't have Taylor graded out this high, but it's so needy that it could go this direction, and there's a lot of late steam that offensive linemen are going to go earlier than all the mock drafters believe, a lot like it worked out last year. So I don't have a problem with the pick at all, and I think if you're going to go offensive line, he's the right guy.
Mark Rosen, you are on the board,
I'm
sir.
I'm ready to go.
All right, the first seven went Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, Devin White, Dwayne Haskins, and Juwan Taylor. The Detroit Lions, for common, Rosie, is next on the Power 2 Mock Draft right here on The Fan.
The annual Power Trip Mock Draft continues at 8:22. A cast of thousands in studio. And up on the clock right now, picking for the Detroit Lions, the lovely and talented Mark Rosen. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. And Common, I know, is sitting, listening right now because he knows Aurora will be restored for the 30th straight year.
Right.
I think this is going to be one of those picks where Lion fans are going to go, I can't believe he's still on the board. Matthew Stafford will be very happy. Bob Quinn, who is at New England, the GM now, the GM of the Detroit Lions, who's very familiar with a guy named Rob Gronkowski, wants to add to his offense. Matt Patricia, the coach, loves this pick. And I don't think it's kind of the no-brainer. T.J. Hockenson, tight end from Iowa, be a big part of what Stafford is going to do, the Lions want to do offensively. They certainly have a player of need. Best player, perhaps, offensively, certainly, left on the board. And no-brainer. Hockenson going to the Detroit Lions.
Is that how you're going to pronounce it when you go to the podium?
I have no idea.
Dude, that's the most Minnesota thing I think I've ever heard.
What's his name?
Hockenson.
Hockenson. All right, Hawk.
Who cares?
Well, he's a Hawk. He's a Hawkeye.
It's okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's okay, Mark.
It's okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah, Hockenson, Hockenson, whatever. They are mean.
They have a lot of efficiencies.
What do you think, Ben Labor? You like
we
that pick,
we have a lot
though?
Of efficiencies. That's really nice.
Yeah,
so many efficiencies. Thank you.
We do
thank
realize you. That they've swung and missed on tight ends in Detroit before.
Many of them.
Yeah, what's the dude now, though, that's kind of killing it somewhere else? And I'm blanking
with
on his name.
The Colts?
Yeah.
Ebron?
Yeah, Eric Ebron had like a really good year as soon as he got out of Detroit.
Yeah. Catch the ball there.
Yeah. I think it's a good pick, Rosie. I don't think he'll make it this far. I think Jacksonville will take him at him, but I think it's a great pick.
Charge was on Twitter. Jeez, that was very close. On Twitter. It's a different website. On Twitter, talking about how you are temporarily part of Bill's Mafia, which means you need the Zubas. You need to basically get it on with some random chick in the parking lot and then throw yourself onto a table that's mostly on fire. Right. So you are drafting for the Bills, pick 9.
Don't forget the dildos.
Fair.
I need a
that should be the name of your next record.
Dildos. Yeah.
That's the best advice my dad ever gave me, too.
Yeah, I bet.
That has to be a Devo album.
That has to be a Power Trip t-shirt.
Yeah. If I'm going to be part of Bill's Mafia, I want to retrofit one of those Nerf shooters for dildos.
Yep. Mm. You know? That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Oh. That's a lot of time talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a problem with that?
Bill's uncomfortable.
The Bills have need all over the place. Offensive line, they threw literally 6 bodies at their offensive line woes. None of them are great, and we'd consider offensive line here. But instead, we feel like there's a player who slipped a few spots that could be potentially the best defensive player in this draft, and he's still available at pick number 9, and that is Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle who will probably play nose tackle at Houston, but extremely explosive. He'll be a 3 technique in the NFL, and he's got a ton of burst. He's a rare athlete, probably the best athlete at the defensive tackle position in this draft, and some people think that he might end up being the best defensive player in the draft, so we'll take him for the Bills.
And Lieber, you love him, right?
I love him. I think that he's a generational player, and if there's a closest body type when it comes to flexibility, speed, and burst to Aaron Donald, it's this guy.
Ooh.
Holy balls.
Ooh. By the way, Charge, I hope I'm the first one to think of this, but I can't possibly be the first. Wouldn't you just call him a Bildo in Buffalo?
Oh, that's a good point.
Isn't that the obvious like trademark or marketing campaign?
We're here and we need to move on.
Right.
Make sure we bring... Okay. Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, Devin White, Dwayne Haskins, Juwan Taylor, TJ Hockenson, and then Ed Oliver. So we're up to pick 10 in the Denver Broncos and Chris Hockey.
I've done a lot of research on this, and thankfully everybody asked me what I was going to do before I had the pick, and I was roundly criticized, and my mind was changed. That is not correct. Some people in the war room wanted Noah Fant, the tight end, to be the receiver for their new quarterback, Joe Flacco. But some other people in the war room with brains said they know they need an heir apparent at quarterback in Denver. And that heir apparent will be Missouri quarterback Drew Lock. Drew Lock to the Denver Broncos. Drew Lock. Lock it in!
Even more good news for the Vikings. The third quarterback falls before they're gone. Mm-hmm. If we can get one more gone, then it looks really good.
Charge, do you like my thinking on this?
Yeah, I do. you know, they don't have a solution at the most important spot, and Drew Lock is probably going to go somewhere in the middle of the draft, and he's a strong-armed kid. He does need time, and he does need to improve his football IQ, and a year on the bench behind Joe Flacco will provide that for him, and then presumably you've got your quarterback of the future. And frankly, you know, you, Chris, can't do any worse than John Elway has done picking quarterbacks.
That's
so,
true.
You know, who am I to criticize your selection?
Thank you very much. Thank
George,
you.
If this actually were to happen tonight, how can you trust John Elway to make a quarterback pick?
I think you just hope that, you know, throwing numbers at it. He can't be wrong like seven straight times on his quarterback selections, and maybe this is the one that he gets right.
Well said. What do you think, Ben? Do you like Drew Lock?
I have him fourth on my list of quarterbacks. I don't love Drew Lock. I think he, you know, if there is... I know that all these guys come from a system, but there's something about his game that is so system-oriented that I don't think that he's a very good critical thinker in like critical times. You know, I would put him in that whole like air raid sort of quarterback feel, and I get that the argument is like, well, look at Patrick Mahomes and all that stuff, but I don't think that he's a athletically talented like that. I would have taken Daniel Jones. I think I'm a little more higher on him if he's going to sit. If you're going to have a guy sit behind Joe Flacco for a year, I would have taken Daniel Jones.
Pick 11 is the Cincinnati Bengals and the fans, Mark Rosen.
Is Andy Dalton still playing quarterback for that team?
As far as we know.
Yeah. No, the red rifle.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, they need help in the offensive line as well, but I think there's a defensive player that they have their eyes on that I think maybe people feel he might go further down in the draft, but I think the Bengals are going to surprise some people and take linebacker Devin Bush from Michigan.
You just wanted to say Bush.
Maybe I did. yeah, he's just a great athlete, and I think in that division and speed and I think the ability to play in his first year. So I'll go with the linebacker.
The best part about that pick is you just sniped Dave Sinekin.
Oh,
I did.
I think so. I think this is the perfect guy for the Packers.
It is a position of need. You don't always go by need at 12. You just take the best player. But that is a spot where Green Bay needs an injection of speed and athleticism at the inside linebacker spot. Not a place where Green Bay is valued real highly since they went A.J. Hawk a bit early back in the day. But, yeah, if he had been there at 12, I would have jumped to the podium.
Yes.
Make him be quiet.
The 12th pick is the Green Bay Packers. And once again, here's Dave Sinekin.
So conventional wisdom is... Goody, well, we have a good vibe. I call him Goody. Loaded up with defense and free agency. Spent a lot of money, and offense is the way to go. The way the draft has fallen, though, with Hockenson off the board, there's not a receiver of value at 12. I think it's too early for Noah Fant, though most national mockers have Fant going to the Packers at 12, and I just don't see it. I think here they're debating between two guys. Brian Burns, outside linebacker, pass rusher. Yeah, they signed two big free agents, but they're big. Heavy guys. Burns is a speed guy and not something they have on their roster since Clay headed west. But no, I think they're going to find a right tackle for the future. Brian Bulaga can't stay healthy. They have to fortify the offensive line. Andre Dillard, Jonah Williams, two guys that both project to be drafted right around here. I think they go with a guy that they're sure can play tackle, and that is Andre Dillard, Washington State. He'll line up perhaps next to former teammate Cole Madison, who was drafted last year. Spent the year away from football and just reported back to the Pack. So a couple of Cougars maybe to anchor the right side of the Packers line for a long time.
Interesting. Anybody?
You just daggered the Vikings.
Yeah, man, nice guy. Going.
No. I think there's going to be some interior guys that they can grab.
No, but I think that the most versatile player for the Vikings could get would be Dillard. You could do a lot of different things with your roster there. He's the best blocking tackle in the draft. He's an athletic specimen. He's going to get better. So you kind of daggered. The thing is, he's a left tackle, though, David. He's not really a right tackle. So
he can learn.
Come on, Dave.
No, I like the pick. I think Dillard is the top tackle between, he and Juwan Taylor. It depends on where you want to put Taylor. But as far as true tackle goes, I like Dillard a lot. So it's a good pick.
The 13th pick is the Miami Dolphins and the fans, Eric Nordquist.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, babe.
Excuse me, I had to clear my throat here.
Yes.
The Miami Dolphins could do one of two things. I don't believe they're going to go quarterback here. They could go offensive line because they plan on being awful and maybe get Tua in 2020. But I don't think they're going to do that. If you look at their defensive line, it is awful. John Woodward, something Godchaw. Akeem Spence, we know him. And then Charles Harris has been an abject failure as a first-round pick a couple of years ago. They're going to go with a guy that has 38 TFLs and 21 sacks the last two seasons at Clemson University. His name is Clelin Ferrell, and they will take him at 13th overall.
Clelin Ferrell?
Yeah, he was in that movie In Bruges.
Wow.
That's very,
really?
Good. I thought you were going with a good great call. Defensive lineman.
Huh. What do you think of that charge, Clelin Ferrell?
I loved his national championship game. He was fantastic. And in that game, he owned potential Viking selection Jonah Williams at tackle, and extremely fast. He's got a great swim move, athletic, very disruptive. And, you know, in a different year, he might have been the first defensive end taken, but it's so incredibly deep at D end that a guy like Clelin Ferrell's can fall all the way to pick 13.
Pick 14 is the Atlanta Falcons and Greg Swedberg.
Wow, I didn't expect to have this many good defensive players sitting around here. So this was, they have a tough choice to make. They also could take offensive line, but given the fact there's probably four guys who could start right away for the Falcons, I think their bigger need, they could use a rush end, and there's two good ones there. But I think their bigger need is a defensive tackle, and I think they'll take the other Clemson guy, Christian Wilkins, who's probably a top 10 pick, who's, you know, falling down to 14 here.
Ben?
I like that thought process right there as well. I mean, you got really lucky that a talented guy like that fell to you, and that's an area of need. You know, a lot of people have Rashawn Gary as a guy that is still on the board that has a lot of position flexibility. He kind of slip and down the line. But if you're looking for more of a true defensive tackle, he's a great pick.
Pick 15 is Washington, and as Sauce mentioned earlier, the hot rumor is that Washington's doing everything they can to try to get up into the draft, and when that happens, that almost always means it's for a quarterback, which means they probably have their eye on something like Dwayne Haskins. But he's long gone in this mock draft. He went 6th to the Giants in our mock draft. Drew Locke went 10th, so I don't know if Washington likes Daniel Jones or not from Duke, but this feels like in this mock draft, they almost have to take him because they have no answer, unless you really, really believe Case Keenum's going to figure it out again. So I don't know if this is a scenario where this is a Laquon Treadwell thing where all of these quarterbacks have gone in front of Washington, so they have to pick one, and they panic and pick one they don't like, because I think that's almost always a bad strategy. Hopefully the Vikings aren't put in that point at 18 where they have to draft a lineman they're not super sure about. But in this scenario, I believe they would take quarterback Daniel Jones 15th.
What do you think, Rosie?
You know, I this interesting thing with Keenum over and over again. And of course, they come here to play Kirk Cousins and the Vikings later in the year. Case Keenum's got to have his head on a swivel. A couple years ago, he led his team to the NFC Championship game, and now he's like a throwaway. And yet, teams keep adding him to his roster, and then they keep going, yeah, you're good, but you're not good enough. I find that Keenum situation, and yet I totally agree. I think Washington will probably, they're already looking to upgrade the position, even though they have the guy that, again, a lot of people fell in love with a couple of years ago, not just here in Minnesota, but around the league.
Mm. Is Alex Smith done, guys?
Yeah, he'll probably never play again.
You think so, really?
Seems pretty serious.
It's bad. Yeah.
Right. All right, Saucy, you're up, baby.
We in Carolina are super excited. We didn't think this would happen, and we are running to the podium, and we're not going to waste any time because no one wants to hear me talk. We're going to run to the podium and take Montez Sweat, offensive lineman out of Mississippi State. He has a heart issue that I think a lot of teams are afraid of, but this guy could go as high as... This guy could go as high as 8 to the Lions. He'd go anywhere in the top 10. We're lucky to have him where we pick in Carolina.
They kind of have to know about his heart condition, don't they?
I mean, don't you think this is also some of that pre-draft kind of
stuff? Yeah,
the stuff that they put, like the same thing they're doing with Rashawn Gary, saying, he's kind of hurt, and same with Sweat. Well, he's kind of got this heart issue. Meanwhile, someone will take him, and the guy will be an All-Pro.
Rosie, right. His father was an R&B singer from the 1990s, Keith Sweat, so he's from a famous family as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Fascinating. That is.
Mark, you ignorant sluts.
Yeah. Ben, you seem upset.
Pick 17 is the New York Giants and Ben Lieber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hoping that he was going to still be on the board because it's something that they need as well. You know, I think that they need help at corner, and this would might be a good spot for Greedy. But I don't think that I can pass up having Rashawn Gary still there. And, you know, I don't know if you'd need that specific help inside. And to have him kind of focus as a true edge rusher, I think will be a little bit of a project. But he is very disruptive. I think you're going to find a place for him to succeed. So I'm going to go Rashawn Gary, Michigan.
Wow. What do you think, Charge?
He's fascinating because he's really is a tweener. They played him a lot at D tackle, where he played a little light at D tackle, but is he too heavy for defensive end? And so they got to settle him into sort of one or the other, and you know, work with his body and his form, and he could play either one. And you know, position flexibility is worth something, but you usually don't get a lot of that on the defensive line. They're going to have to figure out what he is and what his body can let him be. But he was incredibly effective playing, you know, a lot of D tackle at the college level. I just don't think he's big enough to do that at the NFL level.
Best part about that pick is that it takes it off the board, and the Vikings don't have to think about that. So, because I think that's one of the guys they would have thought about.
Mm-hmm.
No, they shouldn't. They should take an offensive line.
Correct.
This is
no. If Rashawn Gary is there at 18, you have to take him.
No.
Yes.
Take an offensive line.
No, let's reach for, like we did for Christian Ponder.
No, not that works. No, they're safe.
The way this is set up right now,
six guys that can start for us right now on the board.
I love it. It's
there's
already
six
begun.
Guys on the board that can start for us.
Sure, but in real life, not fantasy land that we're all living. If he is there, you have to think about taking him. Yes, you do.
Think about it. Yes, but ultimately taking O-line.
No, he dominated the combine. I'm telling you, if Rashawn Gary's there, take him and find your offensive line in the back half of this draft or do something.
Okay, fine. There it is.
Don't blame me when you're finishing up next to the Bears next year.
Sauce, you just lost a couple of vacation days.
I don't have any anyway.
No, I still love Paul.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's 8:39, and we've got one pick left to make, and we'll all get a chance to weigh in, but it's Charge's pick to make and PA's pick to criticize.
Vikings on the clock next on the Power 2 Morning Show on The Fan.
The Fan.
And it all comes down to this, ladies and gentlemen. The Power Trip mock draft almost done for 2019. The fabulous and talented Paul Allen has joined us in studio, along with a cast of thousands. If I don't get to say it before the end of the show, Cinny, Swedberg, everybody. Corey, thank you for being here. I know you didn't want to be.
I work here.
Nordo, Lieber, Saucy, Rosen, Swedberg, I think maybe. All of you, thank you. And the Church of Charge is here as well. He's the man on the clock. He gets to pick the Vikings pick according to our draft board. And then we'll let you do exactly what you think is going to do and have PA... Come in on that as well. Everybody gets a chance to talk about it.
And quickly, here are the names that are off the board for Charge to pick from, and then PA, you can analyze this as well.
Okay.
In this order, Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, Devin White, Dwayne Haskins went sixth in our mock draft, and Juwan Taylor, TJ Hawkinson or Hokinson, depending on if you ask Rosen, Ed Oliver, Drew Locke, Devin Bush, Andre Dillard, Clelin Farrell, Christian Wilkins, Daniel Jones, Montez Sweat, and Rashawn Gary went 17th. That leaves Charge with the Vikings at 18.
It couldn't have fallen any better for the Vikings realistically than this. We can only hope it goes this way. We've got the number one center on the board, the number one guard on the board, and the number three tackle on the board. It's, you know, they can almost do no wrong at this point. Of those three, I'm going to take the most NFL ready of this group, a guy that can start week one at the center position, Garrett Bradbury. He's, in the eyes of many, the single highest-graded offensive lineman at any position. He brings agility, awareness, reach, athleticism, and considered to be an elite-level zone blocker. I mean, it all lines up. If Garrett Bradbury's there, that's the pick. Now, people might say, well, we've got Pat Elflein. Well, yes, we'll probably move Pat Elflein to guard. And for anybody who wants a tackle, we'd be moving Riley Reiff potentially to guard. So we're going to ask somebody to play out of position anyway. Let's take the best player on the board. Let's secure the middle of the offensive line. And let's start working towards this new zone blocking scheme.
Wow.
Paul Allen.
Hey, good morning. Great job, everybody. In following the 63rd annual mock, I think because the first round of the draft this year is not super heavy on cornerbacks, running backs, or wide receivers. I do believe there is a legitimate chance this evening, and with Ben and Paul, we'll get into it at 6:30 from the stadium. I do think there is a legitimate chance that four offensive linemen are gone by the time the Vikings select. And in fact, I think there is a legitimate chance 8 or 9 offensive linemen get taken in the first round. Oof. So per the 63rd mock, absolutely love Paul Charchian's pick. Of the prominent names available, Alabama's Jonah Williams, Oklahoma's Cody Ford, NC State's Garrett Bradbury, and Boston College's Chris Lindstrom, I for the purpose of the mock, would absolutely be down to Bradbury or Lindstrom.
Lindstrom is, as Paul said, by far the best overall guard in the NFL draft. He would most likely play left guard here. I give that more than a puncher's chance, and I give Garrett Bradbury a big chance. As I've shared 9 to noon this week, I'm out on Oklahoma's Cody Ford because I don't think he fits here. And with Jonah Williams, that as Paul said, could be left tackle, Riley Reiff, left guard. I'm not a fan of that. If they did it, hopefully it works. But I think Paul may have nailed it.
All right, now tell me what you think is going to happen, each of you. Without this mock draft in hand, tell me what you think really will happen. Chart, you go first.
I think PA was right. I believe this scenario will not be there. Bradbury will be gone. There's a chance that the top three tackles will be gone, and I think Chris Lindstrom might end up being the selection ultimately for the Vikings. I think everything PA said is very realistic, that like last year, more offensive linemen go than people think.
That's what you're saying too, Paul?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that when we get into the 20s, I think as Bosberg has said, either on or off the radio to many of us for weeks, a trade back scenario from 18, that is the A topic. I don't think it's easy to get done. I think specifically around 18, when you have teams like maybe the Atlanta Falcons, the Washington Redskins, maybe the Houston Texans, there are like four or five that are trying to go up. So there are more that are trying to go back. And I just think it's very difficult to get cutesy and play that game. If you want to go back to the low 20s and think you're just going to fall into Boston College guard Chris Lindstrom, I think that's extremely risky. If Bradbury, Williams, Dillard, and Taylor are all gone by 18, then I absolutely select Boston College's Chris Lindstrom.
Ben?
You know, I think there's a name that if there is a run on offensive lineman, tackle and guard, that nobody's talking about is Eric McCoy. And he's a center guard combo guy out of Texas A&M. I believe he was second runner-up to Bradbury in the Remington Trophy. So he's very, very good. He played really, really well at the Senior Bowl, and has since, I think, been a sneaky riser in this whole draft that nobody's really talking about. That it would not be a shock to me, and it wouldn't be a stretch either. I think a lot of people on the big boards have him in the early 20s. So at 18, I think it would make a lot of sense if those other guys aren't there, that Eric McCoy could be a selection.
So when you get to the 8 or 9 potential offensive linemen in the first round, that's where after 18, you do need to think about Eric McCoy. My intel on him is as a center guard, he would transition to guard better than Garrett Bradbury. But Bradbury is absolutely a generational center that's entering the NFL draft. But now the next question would be, if you end up with Garrett Bradbury, how much do you trust Pat Elflein at guard? Because he would play left guard. And you also would be awfully smallish on the inside. So now you start thinking of playing the Chicago Bears with Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman. Okay, now you have Bradbury and Elflein, a couple of smallish guys, against a couple of creatures inside, you know, and how would that bode well or not? So Eric McCoy, a true center guard swing guy, I have him 30 to the Los Angeles Rams. I think K-State's Dalton Risner could sneak somewhere into the end of the first round, and that would kind of get me to the 8 or 9.
Sway boss?
Well, as you guys know, I have no definitive opinions about offensive linemen in the Vikings.
No. You're a big cornerback guy.
Seriously.
Rudy Williams.
For 5 years, we're 5 years too late in this project. There's a number of reasons you have to take an offensive lineman, and the biggest one is the salary cap. You need to have control over at least one starting offensive lineman for 5 years at cheap money, because you got big contracts across the board that you got to pay off.
Yeah.
So you got to have cheap money on one of these guys, and that's why you get it, is that you draft them high and you have them for 5 years. Bradbury's a great pick here. I also tend to agree that this is probably not going to be how it goes. But if four quarterbacks do come off the board before the Vikings pick, this is how it could go. Because there's the defensive linemen and defensive players are too good at the front of this draft. So if there's a run on quarterbacks, there will be offensive linemen to take. And if there are six offensive linemen, which I'm kind of looking at here, that could probably start for the Vikings right now, you should, because we don't have enough draft picks. I mean, it'd be great to have like two more draft picks in this thing, because you can get guys who are projects in the offensive line as late as round 5. I mean, guys who you can get. There's the kid out of Northern Illinois, the Sharping guy, who's like probably a third rounder. Really a good project. But you have to invest. Seriously, the offensive line isn't good. I mean, it's
you have to get someone to play right now and play at a high level.
You need one starter for sure, hopefully two starters out of this draft. And you could do that, but you need more picks. I mean, you can't really fool around in the second round moving up if you don't have more picks.
Well, if you go 18 and 50 and go offensive line, and I am a fan of that.
I am.
Penn State's Connor McGovern.
I like Connor McGovern.
Could be somebody very intriguing.
Well, I like the young guy out of Ohio State, Michael Jordan.
PA, quickly.
He's going to get better.
In the very unlikely scenario that TJ Hockenson is still on the board at 18, would he supersede almost all offensive linemen in your mind or not?
For me, he would.
He would?
Yeah, he would for me.
So...
About the only two there would be Hockenson or Ed Oliver. I think it's below 5%. Either of those scenarios transpire.
If Hockenson is gone, is tight end even remotely in play at 18?
It's interesting you ask that, because if the four preferred offensive linemen for the Vikings are gone at 18, then if that happens, you definitely will want to listen to the draft show this evening right in front of the Vikings pick at 18, because we will have that answer for you.
Hmm. Well, it also depends on who's on the board, right? I mean, it's easy to say, but you got to know who's on the board. I mean, right. If there's players that we got to fix the offensive line this year, right. No other question.
Right.
Thank you, guys. Wasn't that fun?
Yes. That was sweet.
A lot of crank talk on my drive in with the boss in studio. Yes. That was aggressive.
I don't think it was cranks. I think, what was it, Charge?
Holy cow.
Dildos.
Yeah. The Tin Man crank kind of made it move.
Are you going to discuss the draft 9 to noon?
In the 79th consecutive day of discussing the 2019 National Football League draft, from Paul Charchian through Ben Lieber, and as Seahawk would say, a cast of thousands, we have this biatch blanketed.
That's next. And then Kevin McDermott joins the Power Trip Morning Show tomorrow. We're going to play initials. Power Trip tomorrow, 5:30 to 9. See you then.
KFAN, total traffic.
From the Holiday Station Stores Traffic Center, here's a look at the roads. It's stop and go southbound 35W from County Road I to County Road E2. Heavy northbound from Diamond Lake up to 36. 394 jammed eastbound from Xenia to 94. It's heavy on 494 westbound from Valley Creek to Concord. That's traffic on the Fan, sponsored by Staples. Staples has the supplies you need to run your business like a boss. Now save up to 20% on the all-new HP Office Jet Pro printers. They're smart, mobile, and secure. Plus, save up to $50 more in store when you trade in your old printer. Ends 5/4/19. See store or staples.com/HP Office Jet Pro. Staples.
It's Corey Cove, Power 2 Morning Show for LutherAuto.com and the Luther Tire Event, which is going on all month long at all 30-plus Luther Auto locations. So if you're looking for tires, now's a great time to get a great deal. You're going to get Luther's everyday low pricing. You're going to get brand names that you know and trust. But you're also, for the Luther Tire Event, going to get a $100 Luther gift card when you buy four tires. So if you have a budget, bring it into a Luther dealership. Tell the factory-trained expert exactly how much you're looking to spend. They'll work with your budget and maximize fuel efficiency, maximize safety. And, of course, when you buy four tires, you get that $100 Luther gift card. You're always going to get great customer service at Luther. That's why people keep going back. That's why I've purchased both of my vehicles from Luther. If you don't know where a Luther dealership is, go to LutherAuto.com right now. They're all over the place. There's 30-plus locations in the greater Twin Cities area. So it's going on for the rest of the month, but the month's almost over, so hurry up and get into the Luther Tire Event, Luther and LutherAuto.com.